My name's Andy Dean, and I'm half of a production duo known as the Boiler House Boys. And nowadays I have a record label. I write songs and I produce records for people. And started off as a DJ in nightclubs, and then went on to promote clubs for people, and continue to DJ in various big nights, which were at the Fridge in Brixton and Delirium in Charing Cross Road and the Raw Club underneath the Tottenham Court Road YMCA. Became very successful as a DJ, and was asked to get into to doing remixes for people as a first step into the studio. So did quite a few remixes for the dance floor, which is what people asked us to do, and did things like Soho Hippie Chick and Tribe Called Quest, Can I Kick It, and things like that. Were very popular, and So Hippie Chick actually became a number one record in America, and Can I Kick It became a sort of signature tune for a Tribe Called Quest. To quite a lot of work in terms of remixes and so on, and it also allowed us to develop from purely remixing other people's records to starting to write and produce records, which is quite a different discipline, because previously it would have been about making a record that was maybe a little sluggish, work on the dance floor, and so that really involved changing the bass line and the beats and stuff, and that was our only real concern, was to make it work, you know, so that people could dance to it. And it was maybe take a record that wasn't sort of originally a dance record, but turn it into one. But when we started to produce, then the primary concern became radio, because without radio play, it's very difficult to have a hit record. And so the main thrust of what we were trying to do was to develop not only the beats and the bass lines and so on, which made it contemporary, but also to pay attention to sort of chord progressions and melody and so on, for the first time really, because previously we're sort of just DJs and expected to just take care of those are the other aspects. So that led us to do some writing for first guy we wrote with, a guy called Austin Howard, who was in Ellis Beggs and Howard, and the first song we ever wrote actually got played to Pete Waterman, and he asked the question of the person who played it to him, are these guys DJs? And at that stage, we obviously learned that we hadn't taken care of the second half of the job, which was the melody and the chord progression and so on, and we'd put most of the thrust into the beat and the groove. So that sort of taught us a lesson, and we went back to the drawing board and carried on with the writing side of things, and got a phone call from New York to ask if we wanted to go over and work with Charles and Eddie, who at the time, it was just Charles, and Eddie hadn't actually appeared on the scene yet, but the A&R guy was looking for some sort of cool album tracks, not necessarily singles, to make up the meat of the album, to give it some credibility and a bit of depth. And he'd heard a tape of some of the stuff we'd done, and asked if we'd be interested in going over to New York. And that started a love affair with New York for myself and Ben, where we went over quite regularly for long periods of time, working in America, and really learning the craft of production and songwriting, because there are 3,000 radio stations in America, and if you have a hit single in America, you know about it. You can literally go from one end of the radio dial to the other and hear it 10 times if it's a hit. That was obviously really exciting. We were just so determined to get one of those records and to write one of those songs. And that enabled us to come back and make the most of this country. We came back and did some work with Gabrielle on her first album, which we wrote and produced a couple of tracks for. Neither of which were chosen as singles, which was a disappointment to ourselves at the time, but nevertheless her album did well. And then we were asked to work with her on the follow-up album, and at a very early stage in the process we got together to write with her. And we wrote four tracks, which the A&R guy was very excited about, and he asked us to go in the studio. And at the time, our working relationship with her was such that it was really flowing. We were coming up with lots of really good ideas, and even though we were in the studio producing those four songs which he'd agreed would appear on the record, we ended up writing others as well. And we ended up actually doing the bulk of the record. I think we ended up producing 11 tracks, and having co-written 10 of them, and only a couple of other tracks from another producer appeared on the record. And for her, that was a big record, because of course the second album is when you establish yourself, and if it doesn't work, then you're sort of on sticky ground, really. And we had to come up with a follow-up to Dreams, because of course she was previously only known for that record. And we did it. We came, Give Me a Little More Time, which was a big selling hit record here, became the second biggest radio record of the year. Friends we have been, don't you think it complicates things, or is it just me then I knew it's true, all the things that you have shed them to, how can I deny? Many times I lied. and of course having co-written it and produced it, that was a fantastic achievement. We really were very proud of that, and that really then got us a lot of work from there and a lot of recognition, and made her career move forward and established her as an artiste as opposed to a one-hit wonder, you know. And we had about 4 hit singles off that album, so again for us it was a case of it not just being about the one track, and we went on to do quite a lot of work through people having heard that record, and one of the groups that really wanted us to work with them was Texas, and so we got together with them and we worked with them, and we did Say What You Want for Texas, which again was a pivotal moment in their career, which was good for us and them, in the way that it actually gave them their first hit in about 10 years, and turned their career from one of being you know, on the verge of being dropped by their record company to one of the biggest selling artists of the decade, you know. Again, that, funnily enough, that record was the second biggest radio record of the year as well, so we had that consecutively 2 years running, so that was a great achievement. Yeah, now that I'm not there, I took the tables away from you. It's turning, I don't care. And when I get that feeling, I can no longer slide. I can no longer run, no, no, no. And when I get that feeling, I can no longer hide. For it's no longer fun, no, no, no. Yeah, you can say what you want, but it won't change my mind. I'll feel the same about you. So whilst we were riding high on all this success, we were then offered a label deal with BMG, and we were asked to do a joint venture with them, which is you know, something that's very rare to be offered something like that from producers and songwriters. And we entered into our contract with them and concentrated on signing and developing acts, and bringing, you know, raw talent through. We signed a number of different people, had a lot of critical success, bands like Desert Eagle Dis and Christine Levine, and then more recently with Jeremy Healy and Amos with Bleaching, and Mark Gardner's new band, The Animal House. And our most recent signing, which we have yet to put a record out with, is It's Joe and Danny, who had a record out independently on their own label, Double Snazzy, which did very well. And we plan to sort of take their career to the next level through a major with BMG and ourselves.
Any advice to aspiring DJs?
Well, I think the only thing I'd say is be different and do something that other people aren't doing, so that you get the recognition. Because there's lots of people that can mix well technically. That's important to get your skills right and to get that together. But I think most important is to have a style that's distinguishable, sets you aside from everybody else. Because that's, you know, if you can get a crowd that's willing to come and listen to you, then you'll be booked, and promoters will recognise that, and you'll be booked again and again, and you get the chance to develop. That's really how we did it, because we had a following as such, because we were doing our own nights, And then when we DJed elsewhere, those people came along to hear us play in the bigger clubs, and the promoters knew it. They knew that 200 people out of the 1,000 people that were there had come just to hear us play. So that's really, you know, the important thing, I think, to bear in mind, is as long as you do that, you know, and you get a following, then the world is your oyster.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Interestingly enough, probably in Italy, in a farmhouse with a couple of bambinos and some sunny weather, get away from all this rain. You should come into my 12 bar dirty dozen. I love you to death now, kiss to death. And everybody wants to do what they gotta do to breathe, gotta eat. All minds on the rhyme, ain't damn thing funny getting money. Niggas don't dare step in the square. Cats ain't playing. Yeah.